You're listening to the HDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
In this podcast, we will explore how Gies uses research and technology to grow their business, and we'll also look at what factors growers and farmers should consider when investing in robotics and AI. Thank you very much for joining us here at SmartHort 2019. Can you tell us a little bit about Gies and what your role is there?
So Gies is an international growing and packing fresh produce company. We are farming in the UK, in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, in West Africa, and we also have a production site in the USA. So our big crops are fresh produce, lettuce, salads, celery, onions, but we're also diversifying that into beetroot products, prepared products, and we've got flour business in the Czech Republic, tomatoes and citrus in Spain. So we're a very broad and diverse business, growing over 13,000 hectares across the world.
And what's your role within that?
My role, so I work for Gies Growers as a cooperative of growers in the UK, and I am managing technology projects for the growers on behalf of the group of growers to offer the opportunity for them to access new technology and try and run that project as, to them as a service. So some examples of forecasting and growth modelling, drone and UAV data mapping services, so that they don't have to be the expert or know everything that's going on in the sector, that me as an internal function for that group of growers can have my ear to the ground to know what's going on and try and bring back to the growers what I think are the best opportunities so they can access it and I can be the expert in the business so they to run it for them.
Brilliant. And you're obviously very committed to the R&D, and you spoke yesterday, you've got 50 projects going on, you've got 15, including 15 PhDs. So how do you decide what to work on?
Yeah, so as a broad business, that brings opportunities and challenges, because then you've got so much to go at and there's so many different opportunities and there's so many different areas that you could invest in. Having a cooperative is good, because then we can have a central strategy. So we try and target our strategy around kind of five core areas, covering everything from nutrition and health all the way to packaging and sustainability and precision farming. So we're making sure that for the cooperative as a stakeholder, as well as our customers, retail, wholesalers, processors, whoever they are, we've presented our innovation strategy to them to agree that these are the areas that we're going to focus on. And then we try and pick out the challenges and opportunities that come out of those areas. So packaging and sustainability is a big one that's been prevalent in the media and obviously very important for our retail customers. Therefore, we try to pick up more projects in those areas. Precision growing and being more economical and environmentally friendly with our applications is something that's important for a lot of our growers who want to maintain and preserve the soils for the future. So we're trying to satisfy as many stakeholders as we can with the projects that we're running to make sure that they are in keeping with the central strategy for innovation that Gies has set up.
And can you give us an example of some of these new smart technologies that you're trying out on farm?
So a project that we've started internally at Gies is about growth modelling and better forecasting of our crops. So the biggest cause of waste in our short cycle salad supply chains is crop becoming ready when it wasn't planned to be ready. So this causes massive fluctuations in availability in the salad season across the UK growing cycle. And the challenge is over the length of the growing cycle, the weather is very unpredictable. We can't always forecast exactly when the best time to sow and plant is so that we can have crop ready for our customers. So, and it's also very hard for growers to be able to compute all these decisions in their head. And, you know, they're having to make daily, hourly decisions about what, you know, how many plants they're putting into the greenhouse, how many plants they're putting out in the field, how many plants do we need to harvest so that we've got it ready for the customers when it's being packed, et cetera, et cetera. So that was obviously a big priority area for us to work on. It's such a big cause of waste. Therefore, we ran a project with Microsoft Research a few years ago and have since developed that with other applied mathematical companies to build a model to help our growers make decisions on when they should sow and plant. So we've now got crop forecasting models that we run internally and we've built internally, that's our own IP. And we started it with iceberg lettuce, which is our biggest volume crop, but then moved that out into other growers across the cooperative to help them firstly better forecast their harvest so they can communicate that to the marketing agent and tell them how much crop we're going to have available, which means that we maximise the amount of crop that we can sell once it's available. And then secondly, use the forecast to make decisions about when they should be sowing and planting, so they're not sowing and planting too much and causing waste.
And so do you find that has made a big difference to the waste that you produce?
Yes, definitely. So in our salads, we started the project in 2015 in lettuce. And since, you know, the first couple of years, there's teething issues as there is with all new technology. But we've found champion growers which have been really supportive of us and driven the project forward very, very strongly. And they've been willing to accept failure and mistakes as an opportunity to learn. And then in the last couple of seasons, we've really been able to make a difference to our to the wastage figures and our continuity of supply. So it's really important that whilst we're trying to make our supply chain more sustainable and lean, we're also maintaining our supply, because that's our core business, selling to our customers. So yeah, we've been able to increase yield targets due to the confidence that growers have had in the decision making about how much to sow and when, which has meant that we've reduced the amount of ploughing and waste in the field.
Fab. And keeping on the subject of lettuces, I know you've been working on a robotic lettuce harvester. How's that been going?
Yeah, so we've supported a couple of PhDs with Cambridge University, one of which is AHDB funded, to see if we could build a prototype lettuce harvester in the field. So rather than build something commercial, let's just see if we can try and get something working in the field. So end of 2017, we actually had a successful prototype working in the field. So this is built of a lot of different components of research that we supported at Cambridge. So the computer vision side and the algorithm to actually be able to recognise an in-spec head of a crop in the field that we can sell to retail. Then the communication of that computer vision technology to the end effector, so that we can build soft robotics and a mechanical arm that can actually act on the information that's being delivered to the cutter of the head. So there was again a lot of teething issues. You know, we had all different kinds of robots in the field. Robots with two arms, kind of maybe massacring a bit. You know, making the harvest managers a bit worried about how much crop was being harvested. But the rate of improvement that, with the research that we supported with multiple field visits, was fantastic. Over, you know, the difference between the first robot that came to the field at the start of the season to the end of the summer and, well, end of our harvest season in October was massive. And we'd actually had a prototype that was working, albeit a lot slower than our human harvesters, but it proved that conceptually it would work.
Yeah. And so what's the next steps for that kind of project?
This is where I think one of the biggest challenges arises, is we applied for some follow-on funding to commercialise that prototype so that we could try and reduce the amount of time that it took to harvest a lettuce, and that we could try and make it more nimble and field ready. And we didn't get the follow-on commercial funding that we needed to be able to extend the project. We'd ideally like to, the next steps would be to collaborate with either more growers or more researchers so that we can build a really good case for why this is really important. Yeah. One of the problems that we sometimes have in our area of horticulture is that fresh salads is a big area for G's, but isn't that big of a chunk of the market. Mm-hmm. Therefore, one of the challenges we need to overcome is how can we be a bit more horizontal and transferable between different growers and different products, so that we can together try and apply for funding that is seen to be more useful across the industry rather than just specifically for what do G's growers need.
Yeah, so you're adding more value across
exactly,
the sector.
Yeah.
When it comes to adopting new technology, what kind of challenges do you find?
So the first challenge is always that growers are very, very experienced and very good at what they've been doing for a long time. Mm. A lot of growers are maybe on their family farm, or it may be a kind of a business that's close to their heart. If you actually break down the amount of time that growers, the amount of chances that growers have to have an impact on their farm, maybe if they're a family farmer, maybe they're going to be farming or the head of that farm for 40 years, you're coming as somebody with a new technology and trying to be quite disruptive and change what they're doing. If you want to implement that for one season, that could be a 40th of their whole career and their whole life on that farm, which is actually a big ask for them to try and take up. Yeah. I heard that from a grower at a conference, that I'm basically giving you one of my chances, which is quite a fundamentally scary thing to do when you haven't got that many chances to actually try and change and run your business. So trying to overcome that hurdle is a big challenge and a big step. Because a lot of the new technology that we're seeing is being developed by people who aren't traditionally tied to the agriculture business, you know, mm-hmm. computer vision, machine learning, AI, robotics. These people who are generating startups, they're not people who have grown up on farms. So I think there can be a bit of wariness about how much do they know and understand agriculture. So, however, all the people that we've met from startups that have come out to the businesses are so keen to learn about farming and agriculture, and they see the vast amount of challenges that appeal to them and really interesting to them. So we need to try and harness that energy and enthusiasm so that the farmers trust in their ability to be able to deliver solutions that will not take away one of their chances, but make the most of one of their chances of farming.
And I suppose G's must have a very different mindset because you're trying on lots of new things and early adopters of technology. So what's the difference? Why do you embrace it so much?
So I would still say that you still have champions in the business. There's a varying range of uptake and innovation. It's not that everybody across the group is always really receptive, but you do need to have natural skeptics and cynics, because otherwise, if you don't have enough pushback, you'd end up picking up every project, and that wouldn't actually be beneficial to the business. So there is a level of natural skepticism that you do need, along with the early adopters and the early champions. So we've tried to latch onto the early champions and listen to the skeptics as well, so that you get the best of both worlds, and then get a lot of early wins in demonstration and case studies of the work that you're doing, so that you can prove to people that actually this works, or there's something in that, and then you get early feedback. People tell you what you've done well and what you haven't done so well and what you can improve on. And then that helps to increase the speed of development.
Yeah. And I suppose sometimes one of the daunting things for people is actually getting funding to try and carry out big projects. How do you approach getting funding?
So we're fortunate in G's to have an R&D team, an innovation team. Some of my colleagues, which are well-versed in applying for funding, they're experts in the different types of funding regimes. Meaning that our growers who benefit from the technology, they don't have to know everything about all the different kinds of funding that are available to them. Unfortunately, this isn't the case at all growers. And there is a level of confusion about, how much grant do I get if I apply for this funding, or am I allowed to apply for this funding, and things like that. So at G's, we're fortunate to have people in our business who know the ins and outs. But I do think there could be more clarity for people who aren't fortunate enough to have that in their business so that they can also access funding available to them.
Yeah.
But the cooperative scheme is a good model for that, because bringing growers together and kind of having a bigger group of people who don't necessarily all need to be an expert in one area. If you've got someone in your group who is an expert, you can just rely on them. So the G's Growers as a cooperative has benefited greatly from that.
And in terms of, obviously, working cooperatively has been incredibly helpful. So would you be interested in collaborating more widely with other growers who are not part of G's?
Yeah, definitely. So for new innovations and for high-risk projects, Callum Murray from Innovate UK was talking yesterday about trying to increase the amount of high-risk projects that are business-led. There's been multiple times, or there's been multiple occasions over the years where people have said, investment has been prevented because it's too risky or it's too high cost. Now, collaborating with other groups, other growers, other industries, competitors even, it reduces the amount of risk that you're taking, and it reduces the amount that you need to input yourself. As well as having the increased speed of development, you're much more likely to have a product or a prototype working sooner if you're collaborating with more people rather who are all on the same wavelength, rather than trying to plough your own furrow, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah. And you've obviously seen the great benefits to introducing new technology onto the farm. So what are the main benefits that you've seen?
I think the environmental, economic and social benefits to implementing technology on farm. So the social benefits being in terms of the people that we're attracting to the sector. Been very clear over the last couple of days at the conference that there's a real need to diversify the amount of the range of skills that are currently existing in agriculture and food production. So roboticists, people who are experts in AI and things like that traditionally farmers and growers aren't skilled in. And that's really exciting for the sector, getting a newer influx of young people at a time where we've seen quotes about the perception of agriculture in young people and in schools, that they think it's for career, for failed academics. Having new technology into the sector is really going to help the influx of young people coming from colleges and universities into agriculture. And then I think the economic and environmental benefits go hand in hand. You see scary statistics about the amount of years have left we've got in our soils for harvest in the UK. All growers are aware of that. All growers are aware of their responsibilities as environmental stewards. And you don't meet a grower who's kind of trying to be ignorant to those facts. And we need to make the most of the great land we've got here in the UK. So using technology to make the most out of that land and reduce the amount of inputs that we're putting into it, whether it be through variable rate application guided by drone flights or whatever it is going to have a big economic and environmental impact for the future of British farming.
Brilliant. Right, we've got a couple more. So any particular future opportunities that you'd like to look at that you're not already working on?
So the 5G concept that's been mentioned a couple of times at the conference today is a very fascinating one. So we're collecting a lot of data, we're analysing a lot of data, but the speed that we're able to access that data in rural communities isn't instant. So we're collecting drone data that if we're lucky, we might get back the next day. Normally, if we fly a drone on a Monday, we can have the data by Wednesday. Now, 2 or 3 days in farming terms is an eternity. If you've got bad weather that week, or if you can't actually then go and implement the action that you've taken from the image you've just created, or the map you've just created, there's no point in collecting that data. Now, we're talking about 5G-powered modelling done in the field as the drone is flying, so that you can have your data back in an hour. That's going to have huge benefits for the type of decisions that growers are able to take, bringing the information to the expert. We're not trying to remove the grower from the loop at all with that sort of technology. It's about putting more of information to them as the expert who takes that decision, so they can do it quicker, with more confidence. It's just gonna. I think that sort of technology, once available, is gonna be a huge benefit.
Yeah. And if there is other growers who are listening who are thinking they'd like to get more involved in these types of projects, what advice would you have for them?
I think the AHDB is a platform, other kind of industry bodies and industry groups is a platform for collaboration, such as the conference here today. Speaking to other growers, people who would be termed as competitors, everybody has a really collaborative mindset. I think people are here because they want to share and learn. So I think coming to events like this is a really important way of trying to increase the amount of knowledge sharing and therefore the speed of development in the agriculture sector. I think this is a really good vehicle for doing that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for giving us your time today. It's been really fascinating hearing all about GEES and the work you're doing.
Visit ahdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information, and follow us on Twitter @thehdb to stay up to date.